Revelation chapter 8, would you please? Revelation 8, we started looking at the trumpets and we got through quite a bit of them. I am going to tell you something real fast before we move on, and we're going to try to cover a little bit of territory tonight. But the first angel was hail, fire mingled with blood, right? And they cast upon the earth, and the third part of the trees were burnt, and the green grass was burnt up, and so on. The second angel, it was a great mountain burning cast in, the sea became blood. Third part of the creatures of the sea, they died. The third angel, third angel was a star, a great star burning as it were a lamp, and it fell upon the third part of the rivers and upon the waters, and it was called wormwood, and it made the waters bitter, it says, and people died because of the bitter waters. And then the fourth, obviously in verse 12, was a sun was smitten, and the third part of the moon, and the third part of the stars. All right, now listen, look up here for a second. There's no absolute certainty you can give with these things, because the Bible is not, that's as clear as it gets. And you say, what is that? And everybody can run different directions. I'm going to repeat something. I have no problem saying it's all just supernatural events that just come from God, and we couldn't explain it to save our lives. I made mention last week about a couple of them, possibility of volcanic activity. And that doesn't eliminate, once again, doesn't eliminate the fact that God is bringing judgment upon the earth. But I'd also ask you to consider, I got to think of this week, I thought, you know what, a large asteroid or some kind of something coming from the sky would explain a lot of it. Number one, it would explain the fire. And, he says fire in hell. Well, at least the fire part of it, burning up the trees and the grass. Now, so I started looking into a little bit on asteroids or comets. All right. Now, typically, comets have their cycle they go in. Their rotation does, or not their rotation, but their orbit does erode. The asteroids, large bodies of rock and iron, things like that out in space. Comets have a lot of ice. Thus, when it gets into a certain area, it has, that trail that comes off of it. I was interested to find out that recently, relatively recently, NASA has discovered a green comet. And the green comets obviously are not, apparently they're not uncommon. But close enough to where they did some research, and the initial research, they found out that it was giving off gas that is, cyanogen. It's a gas that cyanide comes from. And I got to thinking, you know what, if there was a big mountain, or if there was a burning star, and if you want to see how bright, normally we don't see asteroids, or in this case we call them meteors. Meteors are just breaking it up. Normally large bodies get into our atmosphere, they begin to burn, they break up into smaller pieces. Most of them never make it to the ground. Right now, according to NASA, there are almost 17,500 what they call near-Earth bodies sitting around us right now, moving around, that they're trying to keep track on. You didn't realize it was that much. 17,500, about that. A little over 200, I'm sorry, all but about 200 are like asteroids and various things like that that are floating out there. If you look at the map they've got, you're thinking, how in the world do we miss? This particular comet, though, they found, it said, just surprised them. Another one that surprised them was back in 2013. 2013, there was an asteroid, rather large asteroid, that landed somewhere in Russia. You can do video footage on it. What is really shocking is how bright it is. In the daylight, it's coming by, and it cast... It is so bright that on the ground there are shadows all over the place. It was a massive thing, landed in a frozen lake and blasted a hole in a frozen lake. Now, it injured some people. Matter of fact, miles away, windows were blown out. You understand that the larger a mass is and the fast speed of it, there's a massive amount of energy that's set off when it hits. And they said that if you took, once again, a great mountain, okay? Now, I'm not suggesting this. But they said if you took an asteroid the size of, say, a mile square, and you say a mile is from here towards corner and I-275, that's a mile. In the grand scheme of this big globe, that's not huge, all right? But they said if you do that, it comes in at the speed that we'd be coming in at. It would be equivalent to, I forget what they said, it was like a it was like 10 million megaton bomb or something like that. They said it was going to be like 100, I forget. It's in my notes somewhere. But they said what it would do is it would take care of, it would level everything 100 miles to 200 miles in every direction. They said the aftermath of it, the dust that would come up would probably cloud the sun. Ultimately, it would probably destroy most all vegetation on Earth, and it would be a cataclysmic event. Well, the point I'm making is it doesn't. Now, this is not going to kill everybody on Earth, but it's going to kill a quarter. I'm talking about in Revelation 6. Or I'm sorry, I'm just going to kill a third. A third. The quarter's back in Revelation 6. And I thought, you know what? If you had asteroids breaking up, asteroids, if they can make it to the ground, they are hot. Starting fires in the right place would be no problem whatsoever. If it was a part of some kind of a body that was giving off that gas, I could see how that could end up if it broke up and fell into waters. Five parts per million. Cyanide is deadly at 5 parts per million. And I'm not saying that's it. I'm just saying, you say, well, whether you think it's just a supernatural, and once again, it's God, whatever it is. But if you think it's just, I believe myself, you say, well, what about the blood? I believe it's supernatural, all right? In other words, I believe that there's no human explanation for why that blood becomes like, or why the waters become blood. I don't think there's any human explanation. I'm throwing these things out. No matter where you take it, it's going to be a tragic and an awful time. When you consider a quarter of the people dying and then a third of the people dying, can you imagine the need to bury people? It's going to be an unbelievable. But anyway, I got to thinking about that. I thought that could end up being, I mean, God could use that. It did say a great mountain was thrown. It was like a great mountain. What did it say over there in verse 10? Verse 8, and the second angel sounded, and as it were a great mountain burning with fire was cast into the sea, and a third part of the sea became blood, and a third part of the creatures which were in the sea had life died, and a third part of the ships were destroyed. It could be, I guess, possibly. The wormwood. The wormwood is the one, that's the star that was burning. And that's the idea. These things are burning, and it gives the idea of some kind of a stellar objects that are making their way to the earth. You know, it's interesting. And I'll probably mention this again, but it's funny. I said before, I read not long ago, maybe a year, maybe a year and a half ago, and this was a statement. I either read it or I heard someone say it. We know that science fiction is a precursor to science. Now, that is the most ludicrous thing I can think of. In other words, we think it up a nice fictional thing, and then we see if we can do it. That's literally what they're talking about, okay? Precursor to science. But it's amazing when you look at what comes out of Hollywood, you wonder, where did you get that? Do you realize that there was some movie, I don't remember what the movie was, the name of it was, but there was some movie where there was a killer asteroid coming to the Earth, and somehow they were going to, of course, in Hollywood, man fixes everything. Mark my word, he's not going to fix this. All right, but they were supposed to take a spaceship out there or something like that, and they were supposed to put a nuclear bomb on it to blow it up into small pieces so it would not end up hitting the Earth and whatever. And you're looking at that and say, where'd you get that stuff? Where'd you get that? Yeah. What's that? Oh, it's called Armageddon. Yeah, go figure. Okay, there you go. But you're where did you get that stuff? Where in the world did you even get that stuff? And I really do believe, and don't run out and say, I think there's a whole lot of, we're a far cry today from the 1967 Star Trek. We're a far cry. I mean, back then, it was nothing more than styrofoam rocks that they threw at each other, okay? I mean, back then. And as a matter of fact, back then, you know what Star Trek in 67 was? It was nothing more than a space age cowboys and Indians. Wasn't it? You ran across someone, they might be bad, kill them. That was pretty much it. Shoot the phasers, isn't that right? Y'all do know 67 Star Trek, right? But it's not that way anymore. Nah, it's weird stuff. It's weird stuff. You're sitting back saying, where in the world did you get that? And I think this is what I think is going to happen. As we read on, I think they're going to, their imaginations is going to become their horrible reality. That's what I think. I think the world's imaginations are become the horrible reality, and their solutions, where man is the hero, is not going to fix anything. And so anyway, we've looked at the four of them. And of course, the angel says in 13:8, it says, "And I beheld and heard an angel flying through the midst of heaven, saying with a loud voice, 'Woe, woe, woe to the inhabitants of the earth by reason of the other voices of the trumpet, of the three angels which are yet to sound.'" Well, it's been pretty bad so far. If he has to stop in the middle of it and say, "Whoa, whoa, whoa," yeah, because this time, there's no question. No matter where someone might go with the first four trumpets, you get to nine and get that fifth trumpet. There's no way. Some weird stuff is really happening. And it really speaks to us as Christians from the standpoint of Ephesians. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers. Our enemy is not flesh and blood. Our enemy, you can't see him. Amen, amen. And I'm going to talk about that in a few minutes, but in verse 9, chapter 9, verse 1, the fifth angel sounded, "I saw a great star fall from heaven unto the earth." Now stop right away. We had a star fall up here in verse 10. Third angel sounded in 10 of 8. Third angel sounded, fell a great star from heaven, burning as it were a lamp, and it fell on the third part of the rivers and upon the mountains, fountains of the waters. The name of the star is called Wormwood. And third, there's nothing in there to make you think that that star was a personage, okay? What I'm saying is I'm saying in the Bible, when you read it, words have to be interpreted in the context. You say, "Well, how do I know the context?" Many times the context is very self-explanatory. But here we get down here, this star, watch what it says in verse 1. And the fifth angel sounded, and I saw a star fall from heaven unto the earth, and to him was given the key of the bottomless pit. This star is a him. This is not just a star. We found out in the book of Revelation, what, chapter 1? The star, seven stars thou saw were the seven angels. Angels were mentioned as a star. That doesn't mean every time a star shows up, it's an angel. All right, but this one is a personage, all right? The star that falls. He fell from heaven. Let's talk about that. Take your Bibles to Luke 10. Luke chapter 10. In Luke chapter 10, look if you would what Jesus says. A little phrase he makes in verse 17 of chapter 10 of Luke. 10:17, "And the 70 he sent out, the 70 returned again with joy, saying, 'Lord, even the devils are subject unto us through thy name.' And he said unto them, 'I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven.'" All right? Now, that's not the only one. I want you to take your Bibles and go to Isaiah 14. Isaiah chapter 14. Isaiah chapter 14, I want you to look, if you would, in verse 12. 14:12 of Isaiah. "How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning?" All right, now stop. I want you to stay with me on this, okay? Look up here for a second. Here's the story. Here's the story you've heard, all right? You've heard the story that there was a rebellion in heaven. And Satan was cast out, and he took a third of the angels with him. How many have heard that story? You know where you got that story? Well, you got it from hearing someone. You know where the story came from? That didn't really come from the Bible. It came from Milton's Paradise Lost. That's where it came from. Take your Bibles to Revelation 12. Now, Revelation 12, we're going to have to stay here for a few minutes because I want you to get this. We have just left, and when you're in Revelation 12, you've just finished off the second time through the Great Tribulation. Look what it says, look in verse 19 for saving time, verse 19. "And the temple of God was opened in heaven, and there was seen in his temple the ark of his testimony." I'm in Revelation 11:19. I'm sorry if I gave you, what did I say? So, not 12. We're going to be in 12 in a second, but look in 11:19. "The temple of God was opened in heaven, and there was seen in his temple the ark of his testament. And there were lightnings and voices and thunderings and an earthquake and great hail." Now that is the conclusion of the second time through the Great Tribulation, which the conclusion began in chapter 11, verse 11. Now, 12 is either the beginning of the third time through, or it's in parenthetical. Either way, and sometimes the Bible puts parentheticals in. We're hearing the story, boom, there's a parenthetical that seems to have nothing to do with before or after. So either way you want to call it, but chapter 12 is one of the most important chapters in the book of Revelation. Look what he says in verse 1. And there appeared a great wonder in heaven. This is a panoramic view. Watch. There appeared a great wonder in heaven. A woman clothed with the sun and the moon under her feet, and upon her head a crown of 12 stars. And she, being with child, cried, travailing in birth and pain to be delivered. There appeared another wonder in heaven, and behold, a great red dragon having 7 heads and 10 horns and 7 crowns upon his head. And his tail drew a third part of the stars of heaven and did cast them to the earth. And the dragon stood before the woman, which was ready to be delivered, for to deliver her child as soon as it was born. Verse 5. And she brought forth a man-child who was to rule the nations. Once again, who is that? If that's Jesus Christ, you say, well, then the woman is Mary. No, the woman is Israel. The woman is Israel. And Israel, 12 stars, 12 crowns, or I'm sorry, crown of 12 stars on her head. Israel's going to give birth. Satan seeks to destroy. He's there, ready to, when the child's delivered, to destroy the child. Remember when Jesus was born? What did Herod do? Herod said, kill the kids. All right? So she goes on and says, she brought forth a man-child who was to rule. When did she do that? When did Israel bring forth the man-child? 2,000 years ago, yes? So we know chronologically where we're at. So far, we get the idea chronologically. Who was to rule the nations with a rod of iron, and her child was caught up unto God and to his throne. Stop. When was the child caught up to God and his throne? That's the book of Acts, when he ascends, okay? So what has happened between, if you would, what's happened in chapter 12 and verse 4 and 5? He's born, he grows up, he spends 3.5 years in his ministry, he's crucified, he's buried, he raises again, he walks around for 40 days with many infallible truths, and he ascends up. That all happened in 4 and 5. Are we all right? Watch what it says in verse 6. And the woman fled into the wilderness where she had a place prepared of God that they should feed her there 1,260 days. Do you know what that is? You know what happened? Do you know what happened in between 5 and 6? The church age. You know when she takes off the wilderness? She takes off the wilderness just like Jesus said in Matthew 24. When you see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet, he said, you that are on the mountain, or you that are on the rooftops, he said, you guys in Judah, flee to the mountains, flee to the wilderness. And she goes out there, Israel goes out there to the wilderness. So what's happened between 5 and 6? The church age. Listen. If you don't see this, you're going to get messed up in Scripture. But sometimes God skips thousands of years. I'll give you, hold your finger there, and I'll give you one other, and most of you know this. Go back to Isaiah, chapter, 60, let's see if I can find it, 61, yeah, 61. 61, verse 1 of 61, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. Stop. Look up here. You know who said that? He said Isaiah. You know who read it? Jesus Christ. In Luke chapter 4, he reads this passage in the temple. So I want you to listen to what it says. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He hath sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of prisons to them that are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all that mourn. Stop. Jesus didn't read all that in Luke 4. Jesus stopped in verse 2 after he said to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord, comma. He stops in a comma, and Luke says this, and he closed the book. Why? Because the day of vengeance wasn't there yet. You know when the day of vengeance is? The day of the Lord. Tell me, is the day of the Lord past or future? So you're looking at a comma right now that has had thus far 2,000 years sitting in it. Do you see that? There's a comma and there's 2,000 years in it. In the same way, over here in the book of Revelation, when it says that the woman fled to the wilderness after verse 5, there's been 2,000 years of history. I've got that written in my Bible. I've got a mark going up from 6 and a mark going down. And right in the middle, I got a line, and it says 2,000 plus years. It says, the woman fled into the wilderness where she hath a place prepared of God that they should feed her there 1,260 days. Now, I said all that to say this. Help me understand then in Revelation 12:6, we're in the future at this point. Nod your head if you see that. We're in the future. Because from 5 back, we're in the past. It is so clear, it's so obvious, you don't need glasses to see it, all right? Verse 6, we're in the future. Verse 7, and there was a war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon and his angels, and prevailed not, neither was their place found for them any more where. And the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceived the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. What I'm telling you is what we have heard about Satan been cast out and his angels were cast out. It looks to me like that's future. Well, no, preacher, that's past. Satan, I don't think he dwells in heaven, but I do know he has access. You say, why? Because in Job chapter 1, there was a day when the sons of God presented themselves before the Lord, and Satan was among them. It's in heaven. And the Lord says, where have you come from? I've come from walking to and fro in the earth. It looks like, doesn't it say he's the accuser of the brethren? But what do you think he does? Hey! He's got access. I don't think that's happened yet. And if you go back over now, and the only reason I went there is for that reason, we go back over to chapter 9, go back over. This star that falls from heaven unto the earth, and to him was given the keys of the bottomless pit. It looks to me like that's Satan himself. It looks to me like he's the one that's been cast out. And by the way, we know he has access in heaven. Job chapter 1 verse 6. There's also evil angels that God sends out, according to Psalm 78:49. Just recently read that. Evil angels. You know, evil angels. There was the death angels. The death angel. In Psalms of 78:49, it makes reference to that and calls them evil angels. And who can remember? Who can't remember 1 Kings 22, where the Lord said, who will go and persuade Ahab? He said, I'll go. A spirit came up and said, I'll go. So how are you going to do it? He said, I'll be a lying spirit in the mouth of his prophets. That takes place in heaven. Amen. Listen, the day when heaven is on earth and nothing that defiles comes in, is not now. Amen. Now, I think heaven is a safe place. I don't care who comes in, I think it's a safe place. You say, why? Because the one who sits on the throne. If you go to the book of Ezekiel, in Ezekiel 38 and 39, dealing with future wars, the Bible says, in that day when Israel dwelleth safely, Israel dwelleth safely, when my people dwell safely. And for years I'd read and I thought, wait a minute, there's more wars. They're going to come up and fight them. There's a world that still hates them. When even after 1,000 years, Satan gets an army up to go up against Jerusalem, against the Holy One. What do you mean they dwell safely? And then all of a sudden, it takes me a while, but all of a sudden I thought, wait a minute, they're safe. Why? Because the king is sitting amongst them. You're not safe because you don't have enemies. You're safe because of the one who's got your back. Well, the fact is I'm not saying there's any danger in heaven. There's not. I'm just saying I don't think so. We're in the middle of the tribulation period, even Satan gets cast out. Amen. And when he gets cast out, look what it says, chapter 9. He's got the keys of the bottomless pit. The bottomless pit. Yes, the bottomless pit. There are locusts that come out. He opens the pit, verse 2, there arose smoke out of the pit, as the smoke of a great furnace, and the sun and the air were darkened by reason of the smoke of the pit. And there came out of the smoke locusts. Stop. These aren't ordinary locusts. You say, why? Because locusts are dispersed by smoke. Locusts don't dwell in smoke. Matter of fact, smoke would kill locusts. And by the way, look what it says over in verse, let's see if it says in verse 11. And they, the locusts, had a king over them. Well, secondly, locusts have no king over them. Not ordinary locusts. You say, where do you get that? Proverbs 30:27. Go to Proverbs 30:27. The Bible tells us locusts don't have a king. These do. So this is something a little bit different. Proverbs 30, 27. Go there. Look what it says. And the locusts have no king. Well, that's pretty plain, don't you think? By the way, before we leave Proverbs 30, I want you to look at something. Back up, if you would, to verse 24. There are four things which are little upon the earth, but they are exceedingly wise. Now, here's what you want to see. The ants are a what? And he says the conies and the locusts, the spider. He calls ants people. Now, I want you to hold that thought for a little bit because you're going to need it back over in Revelation. Or actually in Isaiah. Revelation back, Revelation 9. So these locusts come out. What's the description? I think we talked some about it last week. They came out of the smoke, locusts upon the earth, and it was given them to given power as the scorpions of the earth to have power, and it was commanded them that they should not hurt the grass of the earth, neither any green thing, neither any tree, but only those men which have not the seal of God in their foreheads. So this is taking place after the 144,000, and we're going to see the 144. By the way, the fact that Revelation is not chronologically from start from beginning to end. In chapter 7, we heard about the 144,000 being sealed. We meet them again being sealed in Revelation 14. Here, they're already sealed. You take those two things and say, then this is repeating something. It's very obvious if you read it that the book of Revelation repeats the scenes, all right? But he says, don't hurt those men with the seal of God in their forehead. And to them was given that they should not kill them, but that they should be tormented 5 months, and their torment was as the torment of scorpions when he striketh a man. In those days shall men seek death and shall not find it, and shall desire to die, and death shall flee from them. We get sick and we're afraid to die. They'll get sick, they want to die, and they can't. You know what happens? They get better. And they wish they hadn't. I don't know if I've ever gotten better or not wish I hadn't gotten better. I had COVID. It was not a pleasant thing. It was not fun at all. And some of you had it, and you know it wasn't fun. It was about 3 weeks. And I thought, you know, I can't lay around because it goes into pneumonia, and I want that to happen, so I don't want to be laying around, so I'd try to get up and do something. But anybody that had it, the last thing you wanted to do was get up and walk around. Matter of fact, the last thing you want to do is get up. I mean, it was bad, you know, and I thought, well, I'm going to get up, and I'm going to cut my grass. And I went out and I started a lawnmower and I went back and forth and back. I made about four swipes. I got to take a break. And I went back in and took a break. And I sat there for a while, drank some water, went back in. I took about four more swipes, went back in. It was no good. And I got to tell you, when I started feeling better, one of the most discouraging things about COVID for me was, is you get up in the morning and think, you know, I'm feeling better. I think I'm getting over it. And all of a sudden about the afternoon, it was like that. You talk about robbing hope. You didn't even trust feeling better anymore. Isn't that right? And man, I'm telling you, I remember it was a Sunday night I came back because I thought, yeah, I'm feeling good. And about, you know, I think Saturday I started feeling better. Sunday I felt pretty good, didn't want to come back yet in the morning. And I came back that Saturday or that Sunday night. And I cannot tell you, I didn't sit back and say, man, I wish I had died. No, I was feeling better. I was glad I was better. There's people. I'm just trying to point out to you how bad it is. How bad it's going to be. These people want to die and they can't. The shape of the locusts. Obviously, it's not. They're weird. The shape of the locusts were like unto horses prepared unto battle. And on their heads were as it were crowns of gold. And their face were as the faces of men. And they had hair as the hair of women. And their teeth were as the teeth of lions. You say, what is this? They're demonic beings is what they are. They're demonic beings. The spirit world is filled with weird things. The seraphims have one face, but they got six wings. The cherubims got four wings, but they got four faces. Yeah. And when they walk around, it looks like they walk around together like this. It's really weird when you read over there in Ezekiel. It's just a weird thing. But you look at them, they got the face of an eagle, they got the face of a lion, they got the face of a man, they got the face of an ox. Yeah, that's weird. I mean, we talk about people being two-faced. They're four-faced. Amen. Someone I heard, you know, down in the country, when you listen to the preachers preach, you know, especially the North Carolina, you know, wave the hanky, you know, camp meeting stuff. I've heard them, they'll get work up a real leather and they'll sweaty and wipe, you know, and stuff like that. And say, I'm so saved I could swing across hell on a rotten grapevine and spit in the devil's face. Yeah, that makes good preaching, but you wouldn't do it. You'd die of a heart attack if you saw him. Matter of fact, if your eyes were lifted right now. Remember over there in the Old Testament, he said, Master, he said, what are we going to do? Look at the enemy. And Elisha said, Lord, open his eyes. And he opened his eyes and he saw, he said, there's more with us than with them. Just didn't see them. But they're there. Oh, hey, listen, they're here. Amen. Now, don't get crazy about that, okay? Just know it's true, all right? You say, well, how can I see them? You better hope you don't. I don't know why you'd want to. Years ago, my wife and I, we used to get missionaries. I mean, we wouldn't even know them had them in. This one guy came in. And come to find out, he was using the mission board that he was from that he had never been to. And I didn't know it, didn't check it out real good. And his family stayed with us. And man, it was weird. It was. His wife, she started talking. My wife, she used to be a witch. Said she was a witch. Had a little boy. Justin was just a wee little guy, wasn't he? Just a wee little guy. And after they were gone, Justin's talking to Sonia, said, Mommy, that boy, he could do stuff. And he said, just in this little kid, he said, he pointed at a stick and made it move. I don't know where a kid got that. I have no idea where he got it. He said, well, but I know there was some weird stuff in that family. That guy looked at me, started talking about devils. Now, do we believe in devils? Good. Okay. Thank you. Okay. Yeah. We believe they're real. Do we not? Yeah, we sure do. Yeah, they're real. They're real. And, but this guy started talking about him, and so, yeah, I believe they're a devil. And he looked at me, he said, I'm not kidding. He looked at me, never forgot it. What a weird quack the guy was, man. He looked at me, he said, a lot of preachers won't talk about this. I said, I don't know why. I said, they're real. The Bible says we wrestle not. I know, we wrestle not against flesh and blood. And he said, have you ever been in a room and turned the lights out? I said, yes. It was an easy answer. I'm not kidding. Listen, I'm not lying on this. It sounds funny, I know. He said, have you ever seen the last little light go out of the corner? I'm just not that fast. I don't even pay attention to it, honestly. I turn the lights out. I just want it to be dark, that's all. Can you imagine? I said, no, I can't say I have. That's them. Sonia! Yeah. I'm telling you, that happened. That happened. Now, I'm saying that because you got to be careful with that. There is two sides of the road you can fall off on. You can see a spook behind every tree. Someone says, well, I think they're demon possessed. I believe in demon possession. I believe a whole lot of what we're seeing in America right now is just the depravity of man. Well, the devil made me do it. I doubt it was probably you. Amen. Devil's not really my problem. I'm my problem. But that doesn't mean that we don't wrestle against flesh and blood, principies and powers, we wrestle against principies and powers. Well, these things are weird and they come out and they're looking weird. And I don't know what to tell you about that, honestly. You say, don't you think if something like that came out that people would sit back and say, whoa, wouldn't you think that? I would think that. But when you're dealing with people that are playing with genetics right now, and you have no idea what they've looked at in laboratories. But I do know about 7 years ago that the report came out that in England they had produced a viable animal-human embryo. But it didn't survive outside the womb. Folks, listen. Cockatrice, they come from somewhere. Unicorns, they come from somewhere. Amen. Satyrs. The Bible says the satyrs will be dwelling in the region of Jordan, the region of Iraq, northern Saudi Arabia. That's going to be the region where the satyrs are going to dwell. Edom, which would be Jordan, Syria region. You know what a satyr is? Satyr is the upper torso of a man, lower torso of a goat. Huh? Are you serious? Are you serious? Man. I remember years ago, I was listening to someone preach and they said this, that we have the generation. Right now, if a spaceship landed and some weird creature came walking out of there with fingers about that long that had a light on the end of it, they'd say, oh, how cute. I mean, there's people that have E.T. dolls. That's the weirdest looking thing you ever saw in your life. If something like that walked around my house, I'd shoot it. Amen. But we've got a weird world today, and they're buying into anything. They're accepting everything. Listen, you don't know what they've done with genetics. You have no idea, and I don't know. I know this. I know my favorite airplane that I like to read about, and I've gone and seen several times, and I just, matter of fact, the kids bought me a magazine on it that I liked it so much, is the SR-71. It's called the Blackbird. Titanium shell. Matter of fact, it would leak like a sieve of fuel when it was on the tarmac. It'd have to take off first, and when the skin would get hot and swell up and stop the leaks, they had to refuel it in the air. It had a ceiling of 85,000 feet, I believe. And at 85,000 feet, it had cameras on it, spy cameras, that could pick up the threads on a baseball sitting on the ground. It was so fast that it wasn't that our enemies couldn't pick it up on radar, but by the time they picked it up to the time they could get something in the air, it was already through their airspace. It was so fast. They know it goes above Mach 3. They know that. That was built in the late 50s, early 60s. And you knew nothing about it. They retired it years ago. I guarantee they didn't retire because they didn't have something else. What are you saying? I'm saying they don't sit down and tell you everything. And when it comes to what's going on in genetics, right now they're calling something a vaccine that is not a vaccine. It is gene engineering is what it is. And what they're starting to find out now, uh-oh. Yeah, man. Little sidebar. I heard Dr. Fauci. Well, I say the name, we laugh. That's Dr. Fauci said that if you have been vaccinated, that you should wear a mask and avoid crowds until we're certain that the vaccine is going to protect you from the virus. If you avoid crowds and wear a mask, how will you ever get the virus? How stupid is that? You go back to normal. If we start having problems, we'll let you know. That's really what they should say. That's it. Man, these people don't even make a lick of sense. Stay in the house until we know that you're not going to get it. Well, if I stay in the house, I probably won't get it. My word. The fact is we do not know, but I know this. This is me. This is me. And I'm not telling anybody. As a matter of fact, some have asked me, and I said, if I was to get it, I'd probably get the Johnson & Johnson. Not sure about that right now, because they're taking that off of the, you know, all that. But I don't want anything in there where they're going to change my genetic code. Yeah, man. You say, well, it'll be okay. Well, even if it's okay with me, what if my kids get it, or what if my grandkids get it? What if it comes out in the second, third, or fourth generation? We don't know. There was a man down in Florida. He was a doctor in his 40s, I think, mid-40s. Healthy as could be. He took, I forget which one he took. I believe it was one of the, it was either Moderna or the other one. And ended up developing a rare condition where his body began to attack the platelets and he bled to death. I'm telling you, folks, you know what a cockatrice is? It's a rooster's body with a serpent's head on it. Well, that's a mythological. I think there's going to be a lot of mythological things come. That's what I'm saying. I think the tribulation period, your worst dreams are going to come a reality, and not ours, praise God. Amen. But watch this. Okay, so anyway, we've got. Now, I want to say this. I go back over to Isaiah real fast. Go to Isaiah. Joel. How could I forget that book? Joel. Hosea Joel, okay? And I said this. I said that these guys right here, these locusts, are the ones being spoken of. And I want to show you why I said that. Because it calls them, first of all, in Joel chapter 2, verse 1, blow ye a trumpet in Zion, and sound an alarm in my holy mountain. Let all the inhabitants of the land tremble, for the day of the Lord cometh, for it is at nigh at hand. Is there any question what the context is? None. The day of darkness, a day of darkness and of gloominess, a day of clouds and of thick darkness, as the morning spread upon the mountains, a great people. Remember what I said over there in Proverbs 30? The ants, they're a people. Now stay, so we don't have to dismiss the idea of this being the locust because it says that. A great people and strong, there hath not been ever the like. With what we just read, can we agree with that? Neither shall there be any more after it, even to the years of many generations. A fire devoureth before them, and behind them a flame burneth. The land as the Garden of Eden, before them and behind them a desolate wilderness. Yea, and nothing shall escape them. Now the one problem I've got with that is it commands them not to hurt the grass of the earth. I do have an issue with that, okay? And I haven't got that ironed out, I'm sorry. But I want you to look what it says in verse 4. It says, the appearance of them is as the appearance of horses. And as horsemen, so shall they run. Like the noise of chariots on the top of mountains, they shall leap. Like the noise of a flame of fire that devoureth the stubble, as a strong people set in the battle array. For their before their face, the people shall be much pained. Now here's my point. Joel chapter 2 is either the fifth seal or it is the sixth seal. Go back to Revelation and hold your fingers in Joel chapter 2. Verse 13, and the sixth angel sounded, and I heard the voice, a voice, from the four horns of the golden altar, which is before God, saying to the sixth angel, which had the trumpet, loose the four angels which are bound in the great river Euphrates. And the four angels were loosed, which were prepared for an hour and a day and a month and a year. Why? For to slay the third part of men. If you go back over to Revelation, and by the way, no, don't go there yet. Don't go there. Go on over to verse 16. The number of the army of the horsemen were 200,000, and I heard the number of them. So they're an army. And look what it says in verse 17. Thus I saw the horses in the vision, and them that sat on them having breastplates of fire, and of jacinth, and brimstone, and the heads of the horses were as the heads of lion. And out of their mouth issued fire, smoke, and brimstone. Now that ties over with chapter 2. But in chapter 2 of Joel, it says, before their face the people shall be much pained. And there's nothing said in Joel chapter 2 about people dying. Look up here. The fifth seal is not death. The fifth seal is torment. And they're stinging. It looks like their tails, these scorpions are stinging. And they torment men for 5 months. The sixth seal, there's a whole nother army that comes in, and it looks like a supernatural army. Because the horses are heads like lions and so on like that, and they have fire coming out of their mouth. Matter of fact, you know, I get to thinking about this. And I don't know, you say, well, I think that's probably figurative. I don't. Then it says like as, it's got fire coming out. Yeah. Trumpet, I'm sorry, the fifth trumpet and the sixth trumpet. I'm sorry, thank you. But I got to looking at this thing, and man, it seems like everybody's blowing fire out of their mouth. That's a weird, I mean, you got two witnesses over there in chapter 11, and they blow fire out of their mouth. It's like it's a normal thing then for people to blow fire out of their mouths. I can't explain, I can't explain. They say, well, it must be figurative. Whoa. Do not be so quick as to dismiss as figurative simply because we can't wrap our arms around it. No one would have thought that cloning was possible, but now it is. Amen. And the stuff they can do now, yeah, it's weird stuff. You don't know what they're going to do with, as a matter of fact, could I tell you this? Another thing that you ought to watch or at least keep up on a little bit is robotics. And the incorporation of robotics into the human body. Because the incorporation has become extremely, I mean, this is a great thing, okay? But where it could go to could be a frightful thing. I read a report probably 3 years ago on a service member, and she had lost her arm. And they had taken and put a mechanical arm on and had wired the mechanical arm to her nerves to where when she thought, she could move the arm with her mind as she would also move her real arm. It is becoming that incorporated. You say, why do you say that? I say that, and I'm going to have to quit, okay? But I say that for this reason. In the book of Daniel, the Bible says when those 10 toes, how many know what I'm talking about? The image, Daniel's image? It gets down to the 10 toes. And we say, well, there's the legs are the Eastern and the Western Roman Empire, the split of it. And the empire was never really destroyed. It just entered into a mystery form and so on like that. But it gets down to the 10 toes. And when it does, the 10 toes are made of iron and clay. And the Bible says this. It says, and as ye saw the clay mingled with iron, they shall mingle themselves with the sons of men. But as iron does not cleave to clay, neither shall they cleave one to another. Now we've always looked at that. How many know the verse or at least the phrase I'm talking about, right? We've always looked at that. We've gone to Genesis 6 where you have angels coming and cleaving with women and this hybrid of giants is produced. We've always looked at that. It's not the same thing there. You say, why? It's metal. It's metal. And what I'm looking at, it seems like, well, I mean, what I read about it, it is this asphyxia. They're asphyxiated with the idea of mingling mechanical with human, even the intellect. Look up here for a second. They have, now it wasn't, if you've seen the video, it was not Bill Gates. But there was a video of a discussion, I forget where it was at, but a discussion of a guy who said, we have found the area of the brain that is sensitive, I'm just trying to describe it myself, but sensitive to religious fanaticism. And he was suggesting a vaccine to dull that in order to... at that time, the religious fanaticism were the people that were putting bomb vests on and blowing themselves up. How can we stop this? And they at least were studying the idea of medically through a vaccine, chemically, if you would, genetically, if you would, changing and altering the mindset of an individual. I'm not saying this to scare you. I'm just telling you that we don't know where they're at. And we don't know what they're doing. We don't. But I'll tell you this. There's something over there. When I look at these over here in Revelation, go back to Revelation 9, these four angels and their army, there's a 200 million horsemen army in verse 16. There were 200,000, I heard the number of them, and thus I saw the horses in the vision, verse 17, and them that sat on them, having breastplates of fire, and I gave you all that, all right, heads of lions, verse 18. By these three were a third part of the men killed. So we lost a quarter back in Genesis under the horsemen, the four horsemen. Here they're talking about a third of that three quarter that is left. If this is not, then one's a quarter, one's a third, so they're not the same thing. The third part of men killed by fire and by the smoke and by the brimstone which issued out of their mouths. For their power is in their mouth and in their tails. For their tails were like unto serpents, and had heads, and with them they do hurt. And the rest of the men, which... Now, stop right there. So what you have is you've got these things going on. I'm sorry, but there is not one security system in your home that's going to protect you from this. ADT is not going to come running. 911 is not going to work. The place is going to be chaotic. It's absolutely going to be chaotic. It really is. And then it says, but I want you to see the conclusion of it. Look what it says in verse 20. And the rest of the men which were not killed by these plagues, yet repented not of the works of their hands, that they should not worship devils, and idols of gold, and silver, and brass, and stone, and of wood, which neither can see nor hear nor walk, neither repented they of their murders, nor of their sorceries, nor of their fornication, nor of their thefts. The first thing is we find out what's going on. They worship devils. They have idols of gold, silver, and brass, wood. They are murderers. They're killing. We've got that going on today. Their sorceries, nor of their fornications. All that's going on. But the big issue is this. With all of this, they don't repent. I don't know if I'm going to be able to do it, but I was thinking about bringing a message sometime on the two types of people in the world, not saved and lost. And I can't explain it. I don't know why. I can't explain it, though. But there are people, one group is people, and they literally want nothing to do with God. They hate everything that is about God. They hate everything about the Bible. They hate the name Jesus Christ. They love violence. Matter of fact, in Psalms, it says, those that love violence, he hates. Violence is here. God is there. They're there. Romans chapter 1, verse 32. Who knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do those things, but have pleasure in them that do them. There are people today, and they refuse to get saved because they see getting saved as walking away from what they really love. And until that changes, you've got people here, and look what they've seen. And they will not repent. Later on, we're going to find out, not only do they not repent, but they blaspheme the God of heaven. That's an amazing thing to me. I believe this. I believe that someday when Jesus Christ stands there and every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess, I don't think all of them are going to be weeping. I think they may be gritting teeth. They may be hating every minute of it. And he will say, bow. And the same word that brought this world into existence, they will have no control. Are you talking about Calvin's irresistible? There's an irresistible. He will say, bow, and they will drop to the knees. And he will say, say it. And they will say, Jesus Christ is Lord. And I believe they'll hate him while they say it. I don't think they're going to fall in an attempt of... Look, if you would, please, back in chapter 9. Look, see if I can find it, if this is where I'm at. Chapter 9, tales. Hold on. No. I'm looking for, go back over to Joel. Maybe it's over at Joel. Yeah, go to Joel. Joel chapter 2, and we'll finish off. Joel chapter 2. Now, we've heard about this army, okay? We've heard about this army. And the army comes in, and this army clearly is either the fifth trumpet or the sixth trumpet. And I want you to look what it says, verse 11. And the Lord shall utter his voice before his army, and his camp is very great, for he is strong and executeth his word, for the day of the Lord is great. That army, you say, well, that's not the Lord's army. That's the Lord's army as much as Nebuchadnezzar was the Lord's servant. As much as the Assyrian was the Lord's tool. He's using them. Now watch what it says in verse 12. Therefore also now saith the Lord, say the next, turn ye even to me with all your hearts. I find it amazing that after the pronouncement of what's going to go on during either the fifth trumpet or the sixth trumpet, that the next statement is, turn. So I think it's interesting that over here, once we get done with the fifth trumpet and the sixth trumpet, it says, neither did they repent. You ever heard this statement? They'd cut their nose off to spite their face. They would go to hell and hold their position. One of the worst songs ever written. I did it my way. And the guy that sang that song, more than likely, is screaming in torment right now in hell. And he did it his way. Amen. God says, no, you want redemption, you want hope, you want life, you're going to do it my way. That's the deal. And so what we find is we find a world that even under this level of judgment, they still won't turn to him. Preacher one time said this years ago, preached a message. I didn't. It was a guy I knew. He preached a message on what will it take to bring you to God. And he went through various different people in the Old Testament, stuff like that. But I do believe I ever preached a message like that after I go through people that finally turn to God when God did this and God did that, and the prodigal when he's in the pig trough and so on. Once I was done with all those illustrations, I would go over here and I would say, for some, there's nothing he can do to turn you to God. Over in Isaiah chapter 6, he said, I plant a vineyard. It was a fruitful hill. It was Jerusalem. It was the people of Judah. He said, I got all the rocks out, and he said, and I built a wall around it, and I hedged it, and I built up a wine press in it, and I waited that it should bring forth grapes, and it brought forth wild grapes. And he said this. He said, judge between me and my vineyard. What more could I have done? And someday there's going to be a world that are going to get cast into hell. And they're not going to say, why didn't you do this? There's nothing more they could have done. God tries to reach. Even in judgment, he tries to reach. Amen. All right, let's be dismissed. Thanks for coming out.